Hello there, and thank you for joining us on The Designated Pundits. We have some sportsbook picks for week six. We have predictions. We're going to tell you the best bets. Let's get after it. How's everyone doing today? I'm here with my co-host Scott and special guest Mike Barrera from AAT Sports Network. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. I appreciate you having me on. It's the start of March Madness. As I told you guys before the show started, it's, you know, I'm ready for today, ready to gamble and talk some betting.
Okay. I've watched about three basketball games in my life. Not college, like college and pro every day. I was a hockey fan growing up. And I feel like you can't really follow both. The seasons overlap too much. The playoffs overlap. Yeah. I took the hockey route. That was my sport in college. Vamos, Mike, king of Riz from Jose.
Thank you, Jose. Appreciate it, Jose.
Already got people in the comments watching the show. Make sure you like, subscribe. Let us know where you're watching. You could be on YouTube, on Twitter. All those comments, we'll bring them right up on the screen. We'd love to talk to you. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Find us on The Designated Pundits, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're on Plat. So let's get into it. Match day six is upon us. This is most teams' fifth game of the season. I don't know how MLS is numbering the weeks, but we're taking it in stride. My first pick with the cover artwork, you could probably see already what it's going to be. FC Cincinnati hosting NYCFC. And I have two bets on this match. First, I have Cincinnati at -106. I think that is great money. And Cincy over 1.5 team goals at +100. And this is one of those cases where I think both of these odds are just off. There's no way they should be this financially friendly. Supporter Shield last season for FC Cincinnati. Many people think they're going to be leading the East at some point throughout this season. And NYCFC was one of my picks for wooden spoon contenders. Just a bad team, haven't been playing very cohesive ball. This week's going to be tough with international matchups, but when I checked FC Cincinnati, I was surprised to see almost no one gone. Almost no one gone. One Miles Robinson is playing right now as we speak with the U.S. men's national team. NYCFC, they're missing more players than Cincinnati, right? Talismanio's questionable. They have six players out with some sort of international duty. And you have Keaton Parks suspended after a red card last match. So NYCFC is bad. They're playing at half strength, three-quarter strength. And they're playing one of the best teams in the league with FC Cincinnati. I love both of these picks. And I was almost, like I said, I was shocked to see that since he was almost even money against NYCFC, I can't figure out why.
Yeah, like 10-10, no notes. NYCFC last week needed two moments of just kind of absolute brilliance to score goals. I love to see it. Everybody loves to see it. Like, go watch those goals. They're awesome. They're special. They're not repeat in that way, right? That requires, you know, just an insane level of talent and ability and a bit of luck. And that's just not going to happen every week. So I 10-10, no notes. I like both of a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I also didn't really get a good look at the New York City schedule until you guys had kind of posted in the page we were going to discuss for tonight. But they have a tough schedule to open the season. They played St. Louis already, Portland, they have Miami next, and then they obviously have Cincinnati this Saturday. So it's a pretty tough gauntlet. And as you said, you know, it's hard to replicate that over and over, especially against more superior opponents. So for me, I mean, even if you don't like the goal total, I think Cincy even money is a gift that is just there for the taking. I think that's a great pick. And even if you want to parlay with a lower total or whatever, I think Cincy money line is almost too obvious, but I definitely can't bet against that.
And the reason really I took this Cincy 1.5 team goals is because I wanted the over 2.5, but that almost requires a 3-0 or 2-1 win. I don't see how NYCFC is going to score in this matchup. You're absolutely right. Both New York teams actually got killed with schedules early this year. Red Bull playing Dallas and Houston, both Texas teams. Now they're playing two Florida teams in a row, Miami and Orlando. Very, very weird with the way the interconference schedule worked out this year. But yeah, NYCFC does not have an easy schedule, and it's not getting easier this week, NYCFC. And I've been critical of Cincinnati taking a step back on offense. Corey Baird can score on NYCFC. I am completely fine with that happening. I think that he's just the guy to kill this squad. And we're in Cincinnati. This is like even money if you're in New York City. I don't understand it. Is there something we don't know? We're going to find out real soon. But in the meantime, we're betting on FC Cincinnati in plus 0.5. Mike, you have a pick next, and you are a Union guy. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, so listen, the Union are losing a lot of people this week. They're losing 8 players to international duty. So they're bringing a very different squad to Portland, which, as you know, they're having a good start to the season. They're projected to be contenders. They also just added a piece as well this past week. So things are going up for Portland, while the Union are very much just finding ways to draw and stay alive in these matches. But again, they have been dealing with the CONCACAF Champions Cup. I know that adds a bit to the schedule, but there is some hope that the Union can maybe make it through the first half scoreless, if not at least at a draw. They have shown that they can put together a weird formation or a weird lineup together and survive a little bit. They've done it before against teams this year as well as last year, but I think overall, the biggest thing in the Union's way is how Jim Curtin handles it. We've seen him have these situations before where he has to overthink almost, and he puts some weird formation together. He does the 4-3-2-1, or he puts people out of position, and it just doesn't work. I mean, we've seen, you know Nathan Herrod on the left back in Atlanta, and that was just a disaster. And maybe as he's grown into a player, it's a little bit better now, but it always seems like he kind of overthinks certain things. So for me personally, you're going to have to really get creative with this midfield. I think Quinn Sullivan's going to be on the left side, the diamond, if they go with a diamond, that is. And you're just going to have to hope that your two guys up top in Uwa and Carranza can do enough in Portland. And hopefully that back line, which has been a pretty weak back line so far, can also do enough in front of Semele. So again, a long way of saying I think Portland money line is the way to go on this one.
I completely agree. In fact, that was one of my picks. The money line is plus 125 for Portland Timbers. Again, at home, a West Coast team playing an East Coast team. They don't get it on very much. My kind of justification was, you know, Philadelphia 0-3-0. They figured out how to tie 3 times, but Portland's just the next level. I love what's been going on with this offense. Antony has been fantastic out on left wing. This week, they signed Jonathan Rodriguez Cabecita to be that DP number 9, kind of replacing Felipe Mora there, or just kind of adding to depth. Another thing this team can do, run out 2 strikers. A lot of different things this club has done in the past. And we've already watched Evander take games and turn them on them head just by himself. This game is going to come down to the midfield. Eric Williams, Diego Chara, Evander against not much for Philadelphia. I don't have faith in what Philadelphia is doing, but I do have faith that they have a really good coach. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think Philadelphia has too much respect in their name for that. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 players out, 1 player questionable. That's rough. How do you feel about touching on overs for this match? Because I did realize that most attacking options are there, but both teams are missing major defensive pieces, including, in one case, a goalkeeper. So are you dabbling at all with the total over 2.5 goals? I think that's going to be a tasty bet.
I think if you're going to go from a game total, 2.5 is probably okay. My concern with the Union is the fact that they have gone on a bit of a scoring drought recently. If you take away that Austin match where they were 2-2, they went through a pretty good few games where they couldn't score a goal at all. They had Alejandro Bedoya's goal in Sporting Kansas City. That was some fluke goal because of a mistake from the referees and the keeper. But really, they kind of went on a drought. And if you think about the first goal that we saw in Austin, that was a penalty kick from Daniel Gazzag. It wasn't an open play type of goal. So it's a bit worrisome for me as a Union fan to think they can even put 1 up, let alone 2. So if you are going to take the over, you're banking on Portland really just kind of taking it to the Union. And the defensive back line of the Union has been vulnerable already. We've seen that time and time again. And now you're probably going to go with some sort of weird formation in front of the back line at the 6th position, whether it be Elliott or McConney or somebody else. So I think it's a little bit worrisome to take the 2.5, but I could certainly see with how Union have been playing.
Look, Houston scored against them. NYCFC scored against them. Portland defense absolutely collapsed in the second half against DC United and gave up a 2-2 draw there. So, yeah, I think Portland's going to be all over this game. I think they're going to be clearly the best team. But I'm not going to doubt until I see them put a full 90 minutes on paper. I'm not going to doubt Portland's ability to blow a lead.
Yeah, I'm not going to doubt their ability to concede. And I agree with what you said about Philadelphia's kind of self-respect. They're too resilient a team to just like roll over for somebody. And they do have kind of enough attacking options, maybe to get like a goal. But I just think you really have to factor in how much Philadelphia is missing in this game. And it is a lot. It's more than Portland. Portland's missing a few pieces as well. Certainly doesn't help that Crippo is out, which, you know, really does make me think that Philadelphia can get a goal in this game for sure. If you really want to bet the over on the 2.5. But on the balance of it, I lean Portland as well.
It's funny because you're talking about the absences of players. Oddly enough, Daniel Gazlag, who, you know, across the league is known as such a great playmaker, great player, has had a lot of struggles this year for us. And he's had a few moments that have left us like really wondering what's going on with him. And we also just got shellacked by Pachuca 6-0 down there in Mexico. So we're also kind of mentally recovering from that too. But oddly enough, I'm a little bit glad to not see Daniel one game to see how the creativity can come otherwise. But, you know, Julian Carranza can go off for three. You know, as you guys mentioned, Portland is slightly vulnerable. So there's certainly some value in that 2.5.
Yeah.
Let's now go from your favorite team to Scott's favorite team, because I took the Vancouver Whitecaps at home against RSL, Vancouver -125. Vancouver's home this weekend after having a tremendous road trip. They beat FC Dallas in Dallas, beat San Jose in San Jose. They return home to face off against RSL, who's going to be without Diego Luna, with a youth national team call-up. I think RSL has a decent enough team, but they're 1-1-2 this season, not in great form. We haven't seen brilliance from really any player on the squad. Diego Luna isn't having the homecoming he started during last season. So, yeah, I think I'm just taking the superior team at home. Vancouver has a great system. They have a bunch of great players. That five-man back line with the wingers has been fantastic for them recently. And I really like what they bring to the table. And when it comes to losing players, again, this is kind of what I targeted. I targeted teams that aren't losing huge pieces. The best player they will be without is Fafa Pico.
Former Union great Fafa Pico. I love it. Go ahead, guys.
In addition to Diego Luna, RSL will be missing Andres Gomez. So they will be without their two starting wingers. That is a position they are already pretty thin at. So we are probably going to see a like 32-year-old Michael Chang starting on one side and a 17-year-old Fidel Barajas starting on the other side. There's a pretty good chance that somebody like Andrew Brody or Bodhi Hidalgo is going to play as an out-and-out winger at some point in this game. The midfield is a little bit thin for RSL. In all honesty, though, the midfield and defense is fairly intact for this team, so I don't expect them to just get, like, rolled over. But I don't know. I think you should probably be looking at, like, Dabir Krylock as an anytime goal scorer. He's probably going to play in this game and put one up on his former club. That just feels like the kind of thing that would happen. And I just think that RSL is probably going to lack the offensive weapons in this game to keep pace, because Vancouver right now is an offensive, you know, power. They're good. They are starting to figure it out. And when they figure it out, it clicks and they are dangerous. They are very, very dangerous. So I just think RSL is going to have trouble keeping pace with that.
Vancouver 2-1-0 with 6 goals scored and 2 goals against. So they have that +4, which puts them second place in the Western Conference. How that works out. Western Conference against Eastern Conference is a little hard to predict recently, so who knows? But at -125 for a home team, it's not like we're playing -165 odds or something like that. I think you're still getting a pretty decent. Okay, let's now move to St. Louis City. This is another West Coast team hosting an East Coast team. They're hosting DC United. My pick here is St. Louis -106. St. Louis City went 11-2-5 last season, and the thing that really stuck with me was that rain game. I talk about this like every day because I was so impressed. Regular middle-of-the-season game, it wasn't a home opener or anything like that. They had a rain delay for hours, and maybe a couple hundred of the 30,000 fans who showed up left early. Like, they are a home fortress in this league. And, you know, they return home after drawing LA Galaxy 3-3 in a match where they didn't even have Edward Löwen. He was out with an injury. they didn't take their foot off the gas. They took it right to LA Galaxy, who I expect to be a really good team this season. And DC United has been struggling a little bit. They're going to be without Pedro Santos, who got out on a red card. So I really like what I see here. I think DC United is going to be fine. I think they're going to be a pretty good team throughout the year. But they are missing, I guess, four players with duty. Pedro Santos is suspended. And they just really haven't been having a good front play with Dahomey, Benteke, Click. It just isn't being put together very well. Ted Kudipietro is also questionable for this match. And St. Louis is without Tim Parker, Edward Louvin, the same guys they were out last week when they played a much better LA Galaxy offense. I don't think this is going to be a route, maybe 2-1, something like that. You know, Benteke's going to find a way, left foot, right foot, head, to make this game interesting. I love DC United this season, and I don't love St. Louis this season, but it's not enough to bring DC over St. Louis in St. Louis. Does that make sense, guys?
No, it does. And I mean, it's also, I'll touch upon this.
You say no, it does?
Oh, yeah, sure, it does.
That is exactly what he said.
it certainly does. Thanks for that catch. No, I agree with you 100%. And as I talk on the Revs game a little bit later, one thing you want to focus on, obviously, is the CONCACAF Champions Cup. And St. Louis went through that with Houston. Of course, they didn't make it to the next round. But they're coming off that, finally get some rest. You know, you draw two games on the road. Those are pretty good outcomes, right? You draw on the road. There's nothing wrong with that. You come home and you have DC United. It certainly feels like it's, you know, one that they are going to win and should win more often than not. So it's hard to pass it up to. And the money at 106 is great.
Things I like about this, I think St. Louis kind of clicked back into their press and their system. They had a little bit of a shaky start, but they picked it right back up again.
Their shaky start included drawing.
Yeah, I know, right? How terrible. What a rough way to go. But against LA, who is a good team, that system looked good. It looked sharp. They were causing LA problems when LA was trying to build out with the ball. DC last week against, you know, a really mid to mediocre defensive Miami team, DC's passing was sloppy. DC's buildup was sloppy. Not crisp, not clean, not well drilled, anything like that. If DC is like less than perfect, if DC comes out like that again, St. Louis is just going to hammer them. St. Louis is just going to have them bunkered in, you know, all day long and is going to take advantage of those types of opportunities. So I actually really do worry about D in this game because if they are not able to pretty dramatically improve their build out and their play, St. Louis is going to have kind of an easy.
The one thing I have to say is that these are two teams that are very good at aerials. And, you know, when you have Benteke in the box, you really could have used Tim Parker in this matchup. But I think that St. Louis is going to try to be in a position where they're not even letting DC, like, you need to score from 20 yards out or nothing, because this midfield is going to close down. It did down on you. The press is going to get there. And then they're, you know, going to be putting long balls up to Adeniran, AZ Jackson, and hoping for the best. And That's a really good strategy, to be honest. This game's going to be electric at home. They haven't been home in a couple weeks now. Love it.
Yeah. And it's where I think the loss of Aaron Herrera really hurts DC as well, because that loss of passing range and crossing ability from that kind of favored right side, that really cuts out the service already to Benteke. So just one other thing.
And you also have to think, like, I just looked at the stat sheet from the LA and St. Louis game. I didn't realize that Galaxy had scored in stoppage time to earn that draw. So, I mean, they had a win on the road, you know. You come back home a little pissed off, ready to kind of handle business against maybe, you know, an inferior opponent. I think that's a good motivation, again, for your bet there to take the money line.
Well, I had Galaxy last week, so I certainly wasn't rooting on that to happen in real time. I could have been a little bit richer with that one. Let's now head on. I guess we're doing this in reverse order. We went from the latest game to the earliest game. We're going to talk about the New England Revolution against the Chicago Fire. Now, let me set the stage for you here, because, you know, there's quite a bit to talk about. New England Revolution have not quite been firing on all cylinders this year, to kind of say the very least. Four losses in four matches, that's not the way you want to go. And they are having Chicago, who's 1-1-2 in at home. So this may be one of the more boring games of the matches. And when we look at who's going to be missing, Revolution will be without the young midfielder, Bajrak Terevic, without Barrero, Buck, Bai, Ravis. Fire will be without Chris Brady, Orijel, and Shaqiri, all international duty. There's still a lot of talent on both of these squads. Again, this is another case. Fire, I like what they've been doing this season. I think that they got better while Revolution got worse. The question, and I'm posing this to Mike, is it enough to give Fire a look here?
So I have to look first at, you know, the Revolution schedule so far. And as I mentioned in my pregame notes to you guys, you know, they have gone through the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They've obviously made it through two rounds, and they've scored well and done well in those rounds. It's obviously been the MLS where they've struggled in the most. But I was fortunate enough to see the Chicago Fire play against the Union. I thought the Union should have won that game. They had a goal overturned. They were, you know, badgering the Fire for the last 15, 20 minutes. And I definitely think the Fire kind of got lucky there. And then obviously you see the game from last week, you have the Windy City kind of helping out to score a goal there, along with Montreal just throwing that away. So I do think some luck has turned in their favor. But when you think of the Revs, you know, their schedule's finally settling down. They don't have to play Club America until the 2nd of April. That does play a significant role in how they're rotating the lineup. And of course, you mentioned Shaqiri being absent. He's obviously a huge piece of the Fire's, you know, formation and lineup every single week. So for me, yes, how can I bet against or bet for a team that has shown that they can't win? But eventually there has to be a turning, you know, a turntable there. So I see you cheering. I'm assuming the U.S. has done something.
U.S.
good.
Stoppage time goal, 95th minute. It was actually 95 plus about 16 seconds. The last corner of the game put the ball in the back of the net with a header. Still don't know who did it, but... You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disrupt anyone there.
That's Miles Robinson off of his head and then a own goal. Ooh, that's an own goal. So, hey, I really agree with a lot of what you just said. I just want to add on one thing too. You mentioned when we were talking about Philadelphia, how interested you were to see what Philadelphia did without Daniel Gazdag. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see what Chicago does without Sheridan Shaqiri. Sure. I think sometimes players like that of that caliber, they dominate too much of the ball. They dominate too much of the play. Everything kind of has to flow through them, to them, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it disrupts their teammates a little because their teammates are constantly having to adapt to whatever that guy is. Shaqiri, I think, is one of those ones that can have that really outsized effect because he's not an everyday kind of goal scorer or assist sort of guy. But he has that like quality. So I want to see what Chicago does, what they look like when they aren't sort of carrying him around for big patches of that game. And when they have more players keyed in. This last week, their transition defense to start was actually pretty poor, got better as the game went on. I think for New England, they're going to have to just like control the energy and impart a lot of intensity onto this game and onto Chicago to try and make them uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But if New England can't score and Chicago can settle into this game, then they are absolutely going to start to have opportunities. They have quality on this in this group. And I think like Gutierrez and Haile Selassie, you know, those guys are not going to be quiet all day. So really interesting matchup to me in a lot of ways.
I love it. And so. I think Chicago on their depth side may have even more talented players that we haven't seen yet. You know, Chris Mueller is still on this team. You know, I know he's the guy we haven't heard from in a long, but he's back there behind Haile Selassie. Maybe instead of playing down the right side of the wing every time, they'll switch and play down the left side of the wing. Something new might happen. Hugo Kuipers might find his way on a goal sheet. You might get some Barlow magic. You know, I don't know. And if all else fails, just have Kellen Acosta chuck one from midfield.
You can't be having for me
has been too good for me to know who they are. I think Chicago's going to be like on my do not bet list for like, I like this. I'm going to keep this in the bank. When they win, I'm going to, you know, tweet at Mike and say, hey, man, good pick. I didn't have the stones to take that. That's absolutely fine. But I think Chicago is going to be on the unpredictable side. You know, this is Major League Soccer. Everyone's a little unpredictable, but especially this Chicago. I think I'm going to stay away from that for a. All right, gentlemen, it's about overtime in the U.S. men's national game, so I'm going to let you go. Thank you for joining us here, Mike Barrera. Why don't you let us know one more time where we can find your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So myself, Dave Miller, and Jose Nunez work for AAT Sports Network. We cover the Philadelphia Union. We have been for about four seasons now. Every single week we do an Across the Pitch. That's the name of our show, podcast. We just talk about the Union, you know, everything Union basically as much as we possibly can until you get tired of hearing from us. And then otherwise, we cover some MLS bets. I focus on college basketball as well. So if you like that, head over to my page at Embraer1323. But otherwise, I appreciate you guys having me on. It was a good time.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you, everyone out there, for watching. This is the Designated Pundits and I-80 Sports Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, give us a like, give us a shout out. Let us know what you think. And we'll see you again next week, Tuesday, 9:30, Thursday, 8:30. That's what we're doing all season long. Great to see you guys and have a wonderful week. Let us know how you're betting. Hit us up on Twitter and we'll talk to you soon.